We now commence with Memorandum and Articles of Association. To give you a glimpse of both these concepts, what does memorandum mean? It is a fundamental charter or document which must be filed for the purposes of registration of a company. This document tells every outsider that he must know what exactly the company can do and what it should not do. Because if there is any act which is beyond the scope of the memorandum, it becomes ultra vires. Ultra means beyond, vires means powers, and therefore becomes void ab initio. On the other hand, articles. This is a subsidiary document of the company, which is also one of the incidental document for incorporation, wherein it lays down the rules and regulations for the internal management of the company. Now, let us look into Memorandum of Association. Memorandum means the Memorandum of Association of a company as originally framed or altered from time to time. So, well, friends, this is a document basically wherein it is the document which is unalterable. It cannot be changed. And therefore, this document gives the range or scope of the activities as to what the company can do and what it shall not do. The memorandum has got 6 clauses. It has the name clause, the registered office clause, the object clause, the liability clause, the share capital clause, the association and subscription clauses. Now, let me explain each and every clause to you. Coming down to the name clause. Every company has an identity which is laid down by the name. Now, just as we have Ram, Lakshman, Dilip, etc. Now, this indicates the identification of the company by its name. There are 5 important regulations as regards name of the company. The first rule says, in case of a private limited company, the words private limited shall be added on. In case of a public limited, the words limited shall be added. The name, when we are applying, whenever the promoter is applying for a name, it shall not be identical or undesirable in the eyes of law. I shall give you 2 examples here. What is this undesirable and identical name which shall be deceiving as far as the public is concerned? The first case study is Ewing versus Buttercup Limited. Ewing was a sole proprietor who was manufacturing margarine, it is obviously vegetable oil, butter, and he had the trademark called Buttercup. Today, there is a company which is getting itself registered with the name Buttercup Limited. Ewing filed a suit for injunction and said the new company shall not be registered, Mr. Registrar, because it is similar to my line of business and I've already had a registered trademark. The court granted injunction to Ewing, stating, yes, he's right, the company cannot apply with the same identical name because Buttercup, although it's a fancy word, the line of business is the same. We'll now come down to another case study. Motor Manufacturers and Traders Limited versus Motor Manufacturers and Assurance Company Limited. are these two having the same line, although both of them are motor manufacturers and traders. One is an insurance company, whereas the other is only a trading company. Now, can this company be registered? Yes, the courts held, since the line of activity is different, the company can be registered. As far as prohibitions of name is concerned, under the Prevention of Improper Use Act, names like UNO, ILO, United Nations Organization, the International Labour Organizations are names which shall not be used by any company. Similarly, the national flags, the pictorial representations of Mahatma Gandhi or Jawaharlal Nehru shall not be put on any company seal or company's name. The company shall reserve or apply for reservation, and this reservation shall be there only for a max period of 60 days. And if the company does not apply for a name, the registrar shall cancel the registration. We shall now come down to registered clause. Now, this is called as the domicile clause because every company must have a state in which it is registered. So, this is the registered office of the company. On incorporation, within a period of 15 days, every company must have a registered office because all correspondence, all important notices, all important legal communications are addressed to the registered office. If there is a change in the registered office, an intimation has to be immediately made within a 15-day period to the registrar of companies. And if it is within one place to another, within the same state, the consent of the regional director, and when there is a change from one state to another state, the central government's permission is required to be taken along with a special resolution. The objects. This is a vital clause in the memorandum because formally, before the Companies Act 2013, in the earlier Act of 1956, we had two subdivisions, the main objects and objects incidental to the main objects. Today, this second part is completely deleted. We have only one main objects so that a greater responsibility has been imposed under the Companies Act so that directors do not dissipate funds of shareholders into unnecessary activities or activities which are not mentioned in the object clause of the memorandum. And if they so utilize this money, they will be personally accountable and not the company as far as the return of shareholders' money is concerned. Liability clause. The liability of every member shall be limited to the face value of the share. In the case of a guarantee, it shall be limited to the guarantee. And as far as unlimited companies are concerned, the liability shall be unlimited, is very clearly stated. The share capital, the maximum capital with which the company can be registered, is the registered or authorized capital of the company. It's divided into shares, which shall be either equity or preferential shareholdings, wherein the rights of the members are clearly mentioned in the capital clause. We then have the association and subscription clauses, wherein seven people, the seven subscribers come together. The two subscribers in a private company come together. Their name, address and witness of one person and their signatures are affixed, stating that they are ready to form a company, private or public. Coming down to articles of association. They are regulations for the management of the company. We have model articles which shall be in the following forms. Company limited by shares is laid down in Table F to Schedule 1. Companies limited by guarantee and having a share capital, it will be Table G. Company limited by guarantee not having a share capital is Table H. Unlimited company having a share capital is Table I. An unlimited company is not having share capital is table J to schedule 1. Now what are these articles? Articles are rules for the internal management of the company, so that every member dealing with the company must essentially know the rules and regulations and to what extent the shareholder as well as the member is bound by these rules and regulations are laid down in the articles of association. Alteration of articles, the conversion of a registered company. Now, we come down to the area as far as effects of memorandum and articles are concerned. The memorandum and articles have a binding legal effect. That means there is a contract between the member and every company that they shall be bound by the rules and regulations under the articles. Every member is accountable to the company. At the same time, every company shall be accountable to the member. I shall give you two illustrations as to this effect of the memorandum and articles, why the company and the member. The first case study, Bradford Banking Company versus Briggs. Briggs is a member who had taken shares of Bradford. The company had a lien on the shares. What is the meaning of lien? Lien, the right to confiscate shares of a shareholder when money outstanding is not paid. Briggs did not pay the money. Question is, can the company have a right to confiscate or take back the shares? Yes, because this is one of the rules under the Articles of Association where every company has a right of lien on the shares in the event of borrowings by the shareholder. Similarly, we have a case study of Wood versus Odessa Waterworks. The company had promised dividends to the shareholders, but unfortunately, after passing the resolution, debenture bonds were given instead of shares. Wood, one of the shareholders, filed a suit for injunction and stated the board of directors are not entitled because they were bound by an earlier resolution. The courts granted this injunction because just as a member is bound to the company is also bound towards the member. As far as the outsider is concerned, every member, every outsider, every creditor, every supplier shall be bound by the provisions of the memorandum as well as the articles of association. We now come down to what is constructive notice of the memorandum and articles of association. Constructive notice. We have seen, friends, that the two public documents, memorandum and articles, are public documents open for verification. I go to an educational institution and ask for a prospectus. If I am a student, I am bound by whatever the prospectus states. In the same manner, the memorandum and the articles are two public documents where every shareholder is bound to read and understand the contents of this document, of these two documents. In fact, there is a negative effect which says, once the shareholder has already dealt, he cannot back out, or there is no question of estoppel, which means I am stopped from denying that I was not aware about the contents. The company wants to protect itself from every outsider, stating you ought to have known, you ought to have read, you ought to have understood the contents of the memorandum and the articles. This presumption of intimation or information on the part of the company to every outsider, every shareholder, every creditor is called constructive notice. The opposite of constructive notice, well friends, is the doctrine of indoor management. What is the meaning of doctrine? Doctrine is a principle, it's a rule of law. The rule states, in constructive notice, the company wants to protect itself from any outsider. But the opposite, when every shareholder would like to have himself protected, it is the doctrine of indoor management which comes to his rescue. What is exactly the concept of indoor management? Every shareholder shall only know the contents of the memorandum and the articles, but he is not required to know any procedural irregularities within the company, which happens within the four walls of the company, which are doors which are shut to him. So supposing if there is a resolution, if there is any notice, if there is any mortgage, if there is any kind of an irregularity or a flaw within the company, which is a procedural irregularity, the shareholder is not required to know. To highlight this concept, we have Royal British Bank versus Turkend. Turkend was a debenture holder. He had lent to the company £10,000. He was supposed to be issued a debenture bond, but this was to be issued after a resolution was passed. Unfortunately, the company did not pass a resolution. The company held, Turkend is not bound or not required to obtain the debenture bond because the resolution was not passed. He ought to have known whether the company has passed a resolution or not. The decision went in favor of Turkend and they said, a creditor as it is in a very unhappy position. So company, you are bound to every creditor because you have taken the money from him, and therefore if there is any kind of an internal matter as a resolution, Turkend is not bound to know whether a resolution is passed or not. And therefore the Companies Act very clearly gave the verdict in favor of Turkend, which was called as the doctrine of indoor management or the Turkend rule. To this we have five exceptions. Exceptions to the doctrine of indoor management. Coming down to the exceptions, there are five exceptions. Knowledge of irregularity. If the director is already aware of an internal procedural defect, can he take advantage of indoor management? No, he cannot, because he is a part of the management of the company. In case of any forgery or ultra vires acts, this principle shall not apply. In case of acts beyond the scope of the authority of any officer, this principle will not apply. Similarly, in case of any negligence on the part of a person. For example, we have a case study of Anand Bihari Lal versus Dinsho & Company. Here, the plaintiff had taken a transfer of the company's property from a mere accountant. Now, the question was, is the accountant entitled to provide a transfer of a property running into crores of money? No, he is not entitled. So, can any outsider have a dealing with a person who doesn't have the authority? So here, whenever there is a negligence on the part of a member or shareholder, the doctrine of indoor management will not come to his rescue. Similarly, if the person has no knowledge of the articles, he cannot take advantage of the doctrine of indoor management. Again, if it is an ultra vires act beyond the scope of authority, the doctrine of indoor management shall not apply. So therefore, the doctrine of indoor management will not apply to these five very important cases. We now come to the area of the doctrine of ultra vires. We have seen, friends, we have the object clause of a company stating what the company can do and what it should not do. If any act is beyond the powers of the object clause, it is called ultra. Ultra means outside, vires, powers of the company. So any act outside the powers is an ultra vires transaction. To highlight this case, we have a very leading case of Ashbury Railway Carriage and Iron Company Limited versus Ritchie. I will mention what exactly are the facts of the case. The directors of Ashbury had entertained a contract with Ritchie. Now, what were the areas of the objects of Ashbury? They were mainly into buying, selling, hiring railway carriages and wagons. In their incidental activity, they were also mechanical engineers and contractors. Ritchie, the defendant, wanted to entertain or enter into a transaction for financing the construction of a railway line at Belgium. The directors of Ashbury initially entered into this contract, but later on backed out of the deal. Ritchie filed a suit for breach of contract and for damages. The question was whether Ritchie would succeed. No, he doesn't succeed. Lord Cairns, in this very famous case, laid down, the doctrine of ultra vires has two aspects. One is called the affirmative and one is called the negative aspect. Affirmatively, the company can entertain or the directors can do only an act which is strictly mentioned in the object clause. The company will not entertain any transaction which is not mentioned in the object clause, because in case they entertain such a transaction, the company will not be liable, but the directors will be personally liable to every outsider. On a very similar area, we have Lakshmana Swami Mudaliar versus LIC. The directors of the company had spent the company's funds into a charitable trust. The question arose, is the company liable or the director liable? Now, if it is an activity which is allied or incidental to the main objects, the company can be held accountable. But once, if the objects are outside or beyond the scope of the object clause, the directors must be personally liable on any ultra vires transaction. We now come into the area, ultra vires the powers of directors. Supposing the director gives any kind of loan, he entertains a borrowing power which is beyond his scope, but intra vires, but it is within the rules of the company. That is called intra vires the memorandum. That means he exceeds his powers, but if it is within the object clause of the memorandum, then the company shall hold the liability and the director is not personally liable. However, if it is ultra vires the articles, ultra vires the memorandum, the director shall be personally liable to every outsider. Now, what are the reliefs? Every shareholder can file a suit for injunction. He can obtain the money for any breach of duty, for any kind of an ultra vires transaction. There's a personal liability on the director to pay the money to the shareholder in his personal capacity. Well, friends, we have now looked into the area wherein we have seen if there is any ultra vires transaction, if it is ultra vires the powers of the director, ultra vires the rules or the articles, but it is intra vires the memorandum, the company shall hold liability. But once it is ultra vires the memorandum, the powers are beyond the scope of the company, and the company makes the directors personally liable to every outsider. Thank you very much. I think we have had a very thorough insight into the various aspects of these two legal documents, the memorandum and articles of association. Thank you.